That's a Dive. I'm Kyle Mercer-Kim. How you doing, Tad Potter? Here we are. A summer without Premier League. How are you guys making it through? You doing all right? I'm not. I miss it. It's a good thing we've got some World Cup qualifiers to get us through. The U.S. has two very important ones after a less than impressive friendly against Venezuela. But that wasn't the game that matters. The games that matter are coming up, so we'll be watching those. That'll help pass the time, trust me. And I'll do a little Tad Pod to wrap those up and give my thoughts after the qualifiers. But what else gets us through the summer is news. Silly season has begun. Contracts, players moving, transfers, agents saying ridiculous things. It's all there. But the biggest news so far of the summer is the one that I expected. And if you listened to my last Tad Pod, you heard me talk about it. And if you watched the end of the season, you heard me going on and on about the fact that this big decision everyone was waiting for, will Arsene stay or will he go? It was always going to be stay. And he has. He and Stan Kroenke sat down after the FA Cup win and between the two of them hashed it out, came up with an agreement that then Stan Kroenke brought to the board and the board ratified it. And Arsene Wenger is staying for at least 2 more years. So here we go. The Arsene Wenger era continues into its 23rd season if he makes it through this whole contract. So it's not surprising news, but it's big news. And let's talk about it a little bit. I don't have to say again, but I will. I don't think this is the right move. I think it was the perfect time off of the low of a Premier League season where they finished outside of the top four for the first time, but after a high of winning a record 7th FA Cup under Arsene Wenger, walk into the sunset. Everyone thank Arsene Wenger for a remarkable time, one of the most memorable tenures of a manager ever. Not only changed Arsenal for the better, but changed the Premier League for the better, but the relationship had run its course, and it was time to, with tears in eyes, say goodbye and say thank you. But that's not what happened. An alternate reality, the actual reality, is that Arsene Wenger is not going. And why would he? He loves the place. He absolutely loves Arsenal Football Club and has more power than any other manager in the world. No other manager has been at a club as long as Arsene Wenger and has as much power as Arsene Wenger has in the halls of the Emirates. And that's why he's staying. He's staying because he'll never have it as good at any other club as he has it at Arsenal Football Club right now. And he also has worked so hard on this project and has a very talented squad. The last thing he wants is when he leaves to pass it off to someone else and watch them go get all the glory. Because Arsenal are not very far away from winning titles. Yes, they finished outside of the top four. This was the most disappointing season in Arsene Wenger's tenure ever in terms of the Premier League. But they have a really talented squad. And on their best day, go look at the FA Cup final at Wembley. I mean, they absolutely tore apart the best Premier League team of the season, Chelsea. I mean, played them off of the field. So Arsene Wenger senses, maybe delusionally at times, that they're only moments away from going to win a title. Sort of discounting the fact that one of the reasons they don't go on and win the title, and haven't in now 14 years, is because of a malaise that Arsene Wenger perpetuates. You know, a weak mentality that infects this team that I think comes from Arsene Wenger. Now, there's so many positives that come from Arsene Wenger, but the fact that they can't finish top of the table in May is because there is not a fear of failure at Arsenal Football Club, a fear of dropping out of a title race, a fear of what happens in January and February when it gets cold and the pitches aren't as great. If you don't perform well, what happens to your season? That needs to come from the top. That's one of the things that made Sir Alex Ferguson so great. I mean, if you were to distill his excellence and his superiority down to one dynamic, one aspect of his personality, it was a voracious appetite for success and a paranoia about complacency. There was a fear of him that was only equaled by a love for him. I mean, one little thing, and I know I'm going off on a tangent, and this is about Arsene Wenger, not Sir Alex Ferguson, but I don't know if you saw the video on YouTube where Cristiano Ronaldo is standing there after winning another Champions League trophy. After the final, he's walking through the hallways with his son, and who does he see out of the corner of his eye? Sir Alex Ferguson. And what does he call him? He calls him boss. Arsene Wenger is too easy on this group. He makes life too comfortable for them. And he I think, gives the responsibility to the players too much to go be great and doesn't really control that atmosphere like some of the successful managers of the modern day do. Throw out Jose Mourinho. Even if you don't like his tactics or how he goes about it, you know that he ensures a winning mentality in a locker room. Jurgen Klopp, what he's building at Liverpool, what he built at Borussia Dortmund. Pochettino, as he's moving towards titles, I know the first criticism is going to be he hasn't won any yet. Antonio Conte, he took a locker room full of dispirited, disjointed, and disgruntled players and turned them into champions. Arsene Wenger doesn't have that in him. And the modern game needs it, and it's one of the reasons I think they need to move on from him, is that talented locker room with the right approach, a new, fresh take, a manager who will be that man to fear, but also to respect and love. If they bring that in, they could be getting so much closer to that ultimate glory, and closer than they're ever going to get under Arsene Wenger. I don't think he wins another Premier League title with Arsenal, and so this two-year extension, what will it have been for, other than to extend the gratitude to Arsene Wenger and to just stay sentimental about someone who's been so important to the club for so long and allow him to go out on his terms? But it takes two to tango. Arsene Wenger isn't the only one that made this decision. The other person that made this decision is Stan Kroenke. And how it all went down, based on reports, is Arsene Wenger and Stan Kroenke had a mano-a-mano meeting, one-on-one, where they sat down and talked through the future of the football club and the decision on whether to continue together. And that decision was made. They came to an agreement, and it's a two-year contract extension that takes Arsene Wenger into a remarkable 23rd season at Arsenal Football Club if he sees out this contract extension. And then that decision was taken to the board, which is just another sort of bizarre demonstration of how this club is run, that the board wasn't really involved in that decision. And if you rewind to some reports about the chairman, Ivan Gazidis, potentially leaving Arsenal Football Club, and there being some friction between he and Arsene Wenger in terms of some of the strings that were going to be attached to this new contract if they were going to move forward with Arsene Wenger into the future. Sir Chips Keswick, another member of the board who expressed reservations about moving forward with Arsene Wenger. And the two of them, not necessarily that they didn't want to move forward with him, but just that some changes needed to be made. Some behind-the-scenes structural changes that if Arsene Wenger was going to stay, they were going to at least prepare for life after Arsene Wenger, which meant clawing back some of the power that he has, some of the unprecedented power, power that no other manager, as I said, in the world has at a football club. They wanted to start to get the balance right so that when Arsene Wenger left, it wasn't going to leave this enormous void, a la Sir Alex Ferguson when he left Manchester United. And the reason it would leave such a void is Arsene Wenger does seven different jobs. I mean, he is so important, and he has his hands on so many things there that if he left, not only would you need to hire on a manager, but you'd have to hire on a sporting director. You'd have to hire on a head of recruitment. You'd have to really build out a platform that could support such a huge machine, a successful machine, and keep it running without breaking down. So, you know, that's one of the things that I think has been highlighted about the decision to move forward with Arsene Wenger, is that behind the scenes, one of the fears of moving on from Arsene Wenger, I'm sure, has to be with the fact that they're too big to fail under him. If he leaves, it triggers this domino effect of showing how vulnerable they are in so many different areas because of how much Arsene Wenger does in the building. So here we are, they move forward, and, you know, I've already expressed that I don't think it's the right decision, but it is the decision they're moving forward with. And so let me just change tact, and instead of going and talking about the past and an alternate reality, let's talk about this reality. And there are a few things that I think mitigate the concerns and can make it a good decision. One is, I think that they have gotten Arsene Wenger to agree to some structural changes behind the scenes. I don't think there's going to be a sporting director that he answers to, but there will be someone there who takes some of the responsibilities away from Arsene Wenger and begins to learn how Arsene Wenger has built a successful team. And you know, you can think that they should be battling for titles, but also respect the remarkable top four consistency that Arsene Wenger has delivered. Obviously admitting that this season is the first he hasn't been able to deliver it. But there are things that someone can learn from Arsene Wenger that are incredibly valuable. So someone sort of shadowing him and maybe not taking responsibilities away from him initially, but eventually either assuming those responsibilities or being able to delegate and hire on people to pick those up once Arsene Wenger leaves is very valuable. So I think that's one change that we're seeing. Another change has to do with contracts as well. It has to do with two big contracts. Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil have not agreed new contracts that they've been offered yet and are holding out for big money. Now, Arsenal has in the past said what their North London rivals tend to say under Daniel Levy as well, that they're not going to break their wage structure and try to appease players or attract players in the way that some of their competitors are by paying just egregious wages. Well, you know what? That's changing. If they want to land Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil, they are going to be paying them upwards to £300,000 a week, and it looks like they're close to doing that. It looks like if contracts are signed by those two star players, and I think they have to keep them. I think they have to keep those two stars because if you look at down the stretch when they performed so well and almost again sprinted towards the finish line to finish top four, Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez were excellent. If you watch that FA Cup final against Chelsea, those two players were phenomenal and showed that they're world-class talent that they have to keep. If you're only going to keep one of them, Alexis is the one they absolutely have to keep, and he's the one whose contract I believe is expiring sooner. I think they're allowing him to get into that difficult 18-month stretch where, you know, they could lose him for nothing and he can start to negotiate with other teams pretty soon. So they're going to be offering these guys huge wages. So that's another change. The last change is I think we're seeing Arsene Wenger change. I think that we're seeing this old dog get taught new tricks. I honestly think the move to a back three, and I said this on the last pod, forget tactically like what you think about it and whether you think that's the right move or whether tactically it was working. You know, the results suggest that it was. You know, I think the FA Cup final against Chelsea is sort of the zenith and the best example of it being used in a very important game against a great attacking team and it working really well. You know, that at least shows that Arsene Wenger is willing to acquiesce from just this obstinance and this just pigheadedness that he's not going to change the way he plays. He's not going to change for anyone. He's not going to change for any team. Arsenal are who they are. They're going to possess the ball. They're going to keep it on the ground. They're going to attack. They're going to throw their fullbacks forward. They're going to be vulnerable to a counterattack, but they're going to dominate. They're going to be on the front foot. And I just think the back three is a suggestion and a gesture from Arsene Wenger that, you know what, he's willing to try things to get the balance right. And you know, the back three this season in the Premier League was in vogue, and everyone, for the most part, save for two teams, tried it at some point. But I don't think it's just a gimmick, and I don't think it's just a hollow gesture from Arsene Wenger. I honestly think he's realizing that he's one of the reasons that they're not winning titles. He's realizing that he has to modernize himself. He has to keep up with the Joneses a bit. And I don't mean mimicking what other people are doing, but I just mean reinventing himself and reinventing Arsenal a little bit, and realizing that if he's just a bit more conservative, and I don't mean becoming Jose Mourinho and bunkering in and parking the bus in big games. I just mean, you know, kind of go back a couple seasons when they got that really wonderful win, a huge win at the Etihad against Manchester City, when they had like 30% of the ball and decided to not be the aggressors in that game. You know, that was a big gesture, but it wasn't consistent. They went right back to their old mistakes and continued to fail and die and had the season die in beauty in the same way we've seen for the last decade. But this just feels a bit different recently. So, you know, I just think those three things, and let me just add another, the transfer window. One of the things that typically, if you ask the Wenger out crowd to make an argument for why he should leave and what are their major gripes, I've listed a few of them, but another one I haven't listed yet is the transfer window. They want to spend more. And I think some of them accepted the fact that the move from Highbury handicapped them a little bit. And Arsene Wenger, unlike other managers that'll come in and spend big and don't really care about the bottom line, don't really care about the budget, they know how knee-jerk and cutthroat the world is, and success has to happen immediately or managers are going to be fired. Those managers come in and they don't really show a fiduciary responsibility towards a club like Arsene Wenger has. So I have supported him and defended him for that. I think a lot of Arsene Wenger fans and Arsenal fans have, even the Wenger out crowd. But they finally have gotten to the point where that excuse doesn't hold water anymore. They want to spend big, and they look at signings like Mesut Ozil and Alexis as tiptoeing into that area. But then they see the Manchester United spend 100 million, you know, $120 million on a player. They see these $300 to $350 million spends at a transfer window by Manchester City and others. They want to spend big too. And what upsets them and pisses them off so much is Ivan Gazidis brags about this war chest that they have that they're not spending. So it's definitely possible for them to start going big in the market. And what are we seeing recently? Mbappe, the brightest young talent in the world right now, the teenager from Monaco who's on the wish list of every major club right now. Well, Arsene Wenger are throwing their hat in the ring. And some might sort of, you know, snicker or you know, laugh away the attempt to get him because Arsenal's first bid for him was, you know, 20 or 30 million pounds behind what reports have said has already been bidded for him. But they're coming in big. I mean, that bid of upwards to $100 million that Arsenal reportedly threw out for Mbappe could have been accepted. And the fact that they're throwing their hat in the ring for players this big, this isn't the 40 million plus £1 ridiculous move for Luis Suarez. This is a legitimate attempt to spend a remarkable amount of money on one player to give them what they need to go win a title. Because, you know, Thierry Henry and other Arsenal greats and other pundits have said that's all that's missing. You know, Alexis has played that role up top so well, and Olivier Giroud has been a super sub and has been remarkable off the bench. But a world-class striker, someone that can get them 20-plus goals a season and contribute with, you know, like Alexis did this year, maybe even double-digit assists. I mean, if they can get someone that gets them 25 goals, they can go win a title. And, you know, I've argued that I think Olivier Giroud is good enough to get them that title, and that's not why they're coming up short. But you go get someone like this Mbappe kid, you go get a world-class talent like that, even though he's a teenager. Real Madrid, PSG, all these teams are in for him. then you're really talking. I mean, then if you can't win a title with that strike force, with that quality out on the field, with a better defensive balance, then Arsene Wenger just needs to throw up his hands and walk away. But that's another thing that I think should assuage fans right now. Should make them okay with, even if they don't agree with it, just okay with the movement towards, let's give Arsene Wenger one last crack at this thing. Because all of those things, if they come to fruition, if they spend $250 million in this transfer window, if they get another strong center back, if they correct their defensive issues, if they keep Alexis Sanchez, if they keep Mesut Ozil, if Arsene Wenger gets someone to start coaching the team during the week on how to be without the ball, work on shape, work on things that if you read Tony Adams' book, you might not believe it. That might be sour grapes for you. But I've heard from several former Arsenal players that Arsene Wenger isn't coaching them during the week, that no one's really setting them up to have a game plan for the weekend. They're just letting them be Arsenal. And because they are such a remarkably talented group, on their day, when the sun's out, the field's great, and they have the ball, they're irresistible. But it's not their day all the time. And sometimes you have to win ugly. Sometimes you have to find a different way to win. And if Arsene Wenger is willing to start to do that, if he's willing to prepare for life without the ball, if he's willing to set up this team to defend and absorb pressure at times, if he's willing to spend an enormous amount of money in the transfer window, if he's willing to spend huge on player wages, if he's willing to just break out of the mold, the stasis that has caused them to be just faux title challengers, to be top four is good enough type of team for the last decade, then this could turn out to be, against pundits like me and others that think it was an error, it might turn out to be a great decision. It might be the type of decision that's looked at as one of the biggest decisions that went the right way in the Premier League era. So that's kind of my thoughts on this Arsenal thing. We'll see how the summer goes. We'll see if they actually spend big or if it's just another window where we hear Arsene Wenger talk about all the great prospects and all the remarkable talent that he was interested in but didn't buy. We'll see if they keep Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez. And we'll see if he starts the season with the defensive responsibility and tweaks towards making them a less vulnerable group that we've seen in the last couple months of the season. And time will tell. Time will tell on this one. But one thing's for sure, it creates a remarkable narrative and a remarkable story to follow during the Premier League season. And for those that, I know some Arsenal fans say, who's better than Arsene Wenger? There's no great options out there. A day before they made the announcement that Arsene Wenger was going to continue, Borussia Dortmund made a remarkable announcement that they were firing Tuchel. And, he was someone that Arsenal were supposedly behind the scenes interested in if Arsene Wenger decided to leave. He is one of the brightest young managers out there right now, and he wasn't fired for bad performances. He was fired for, even though they weren't in the title challenge, he was fired for a rift behind the scenes based on the fact that Borussia Dortmund kept selling their top talent, and it was upsetting Thomas Tuchel, as it should have. And, they had a shot at him. If they wanted to move on from Arsene Wenger, they could have hired him, and that would have been, in my mind, a great move of grabbing one of the most respected managers out there right now, who comes from a team trying to play a similar style and a similar attractive attacking style from Arsenal, and they could have hit the ground running a little bit. But they didn't. They didn't do that, and they're moving forward with Arsene Wenger, and we are all going to sit back and see if that was one of the best, worst, or just mediocre decisions of Arsenal's history and of the Premier League history. So hold out, guys. We're almost there, only a couple months away. Oh, it'll be back before you know it. So enjoy the time off. I'm going to try to. And get in front of a TV for these US World Cup qualifiers coming up. Bruce Arena, speaking of coaches and speaking of big decisions, massive decision to put him back in charge. And he's got them back on track in the hex. But these two games could be make or break for the U.S. national team and Bruce Arena. So I'll jump on a Tadpod after that. But always good to be with you guys. Thanks for listening again. Thanks for the reviews. Actually, I was supposed to do that at the top. I forgot. Why don't I read a couple of them right now? Because I love the reviews. And you guys, as I always say, they help the pod. They help it get more exposure. So here are two. How I Feel About Tadpod by WizardLips4. Really enjoy the rolling discussion format of this podcast. It complements my weekly intake of Men and Blazers and ESPN FC nicely with Kyle and PJ's breakdown of strategic moves happening in the EPL alongside tactical player knowledge. I'll typically listen to them a few episodes at a time. Oh, we got a binge listener. Thanks, Wizard Lips. That's the thing I love about these podcasts, man. As I get older, they stay the same age. Love that Dazed and Confused reference. And one more great podcast to catch up on the latest by Mizark19. Really enjoy the podcast. Sometimes the volume has been a bit too low. That's PJ's fault. I'm blaming PJ. But overall, my soccer IQ raises just a little bit after listening. Gives me those extra tidbits of info to show off in front of my soccer friends. Thanks, Kyle. I like your style. I like your moves. Oh, I don't know that one. Ms. Ark, you gotta hit me at that. Kyle Murphy, tell me what that's from. I like your style. Well, I like your view. Thanks, Ms. Ark. And thank you, Tad Potter, for listening again. And remember, stay on your feet.